The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, I'm Doris Hyde for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Vision News. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you more from the interview with Mo on travel nightmares. The article that I skipped last week on updating the programs on your computers as soon as possible. From Cool Blind Tech, accessible gaming controller for $35. Zap Vision for visually impaired product info. Clearing Safari cache on your iPhone. From ACB, accessible COVID home tests. From NFB, 2022 scholarship finalists. So let's get started. From Wired.com, you need to update iOS, Chrome, Windows, and Zoom ASAP. Plus, Google patches 36 Android vulnerabilities, Cisco fixes 3 high-severity issues, and VMware closes 2 serious flaws. Article by Kate O'Flaherty, posted May 31st. May has been another busy month of security updates, with Google's Chrome browser and Android operating system, Zoom and Apple's iOS releasing patches to fix serious vulnerabilities. Meanwhile, things have not run smoothly for Microsoft, which was forced to issue an out-of-band update after a disastrous patch during the month. And Cisco, NVIDIA, Zoom, and VMware all issued patches for pressing flaws. Here's what you need to know. Apple iOS and iPad OS 15.5, Mac OS Big Sur 11.6.6, TV OS 15.5, Watch OS 8.6. With Apple due to announce iOS 16 at its Worldwide Developers Conference in June, the iPhone maker released probably its last major iOS 15-point update in May. It came with new features, but iOS and iPadOS 15.5 also fixed 34 security vulnerabilities, some of which are serious. Security issues fixed in iOS 15.5 include flaws in the kernel, as well as in the WebKit browser engine, according to Apple's supports page. Thankfully, none of the issued patches in iOS and iPad 15.5 are being used in attacks, according to the company, but that doesn't mean they won't be if you don't update now. Meanwhile, users of macOS, tvOS, and the Apple Watch should update their devices ASAP, as Apple also issued an emergency update to patch an issue it believes is already being used in attacks. The flaw in Apple AVD, labeled CVE-2022-22675, could allow an app to execute code with kernel privileges. Issues in the kernel are as bad as it gets, so it's worth checking and updating your devices right away. Microsoft's flubbed May Patch Tuesday. Microsoft's May Patch Tuesday was something of a disaster for the diligent businesses that installed it straight away. On May 10th, the firm issued security updates to fix 75 vulnerabilities, 8 labeled as serious and 3 that were being exploited by attackers. The issues fixed in May's Patch Tuesday were important, but there were soon problems for some Microsoft users who reported authentication failures after installing the latest updates. It impacted people using the client and server Windows platforms and systems running all Windows versions, including Windows 11 and Windows Server 2022. In a bid to fix the problem, the firm was forced to issue an out-of-band update for Windows 10, Windows 11, and Windows Server 2008, 2012, 2016, 2019, and 2022 on May 20th. The update won't install automatically. You need to download it from Microsoft's update catalog. Firefox 100.0.2. In early May, Mozilla released Firefox 100, including 9 security fixes for its Firefox browser, of which 7 were rated as high severity. But later in May, ethical hackers at the PWN-20WN competition in Vancouver were able to demonstrate how attackers could execute JavaScript code on devices running the latest Mozilla software. Mozilla fixed the issues in another update, Firefox 100.0.2, Firefox ESR 91.9.1, Firefox for Android 100.3, and Thunderbird 91.9.1. Click those update buttons. Android. May's Android security update is a big one, patching 36 vulnerabilities, including an issue already being exploited by attackers. This exploited flaw is a privilege escalation bug in the Linux kernel known as the Dirty Pipe. The flaw, which impacts newer Android devices running Android 12 and later, was disclosed by Google in February, but it has taken a while to reach devices. Other Android security fixes in May include 15 high-severity and one critical-severity vulnerability in Qualcomm components, two denial-of-service flaws in the Android system, and three high-severity issues in MediaTek components. Google Pixel and Samsung users in particular should look out for the May update, as additional vulnerabilities have been fixed on these devices. The update has so far reached Android devices including the Samsung Galaxy S22, Galaxy S22 Plus, and Galaxy S22 Ultra, as well as the Galaxy Tab S8 series, the Galaxy Watch 4 series, and the Galaxy S21 series. Chrome 102. Another month, another major Google Chrome security update, this time for 32 issues, of which one is rated as critical and 8 are deemed high severity. The critical issues, CVE-2022-1853, impacts the indexed DB feature, while the high-rated flaws affect areas that include DevTools, UI foundations, and the user education function. None of the flaws fixed in Chrome 102 have been exploited, Google says. This is in contrast to April, when the company issued emergency updates to fix several already exploited vulnerabilities in its Chromium-based browser. Earlier in May, Google released 13 fixes in Chrome V101.0.4951.61 for Android, with 8 of these rated as having a high severity impact. Cisco has fixed multiple vulnerabilities in Cisco Enterprise NFV infrastructure software that could allow an attacker to escape from the guest virtual machine to the host machine, inject commands that execute at the root level, or leak system data from the host to the virtual machine. It goes without saying that these high-severity issues, tracked as CVE-2022-20777, CVE-2022-20779, and CVE-2022-20780 are serious, so it's a good idea to update as soon as possible. NVIDIA. Chip manufacturer NVIDIA issued a security update in mid-May for its NVIDIA GPU display driver to fix flaws that could allow denial of service, information disclosure, or data tampering. The list of 10 vulnerabilities includes issues in the kernel mode layer on Windows and Linux devices. The updates themselves can be found on NVIDIA's downloads website. Zoom. Video conferencing app Zoom has released version 5.10.0 to fix an issue found by security researchers at Google's Project Zero in February. The flaw in messaging protocol XMPP doesn't require any interaction from the user in order to execute the attack. User interaction is not required for a successful attack. The only ability an attacker needs is to be able to send messages to the victim over Zoom chat over XMPP protocol, says security researcher Ivan Fratric, F-R-A-T-R-I-C, who describes how the attacker can force the victim client to connect to a malicious server, resulting in arbitrary code execution. VMware. Cloud provider VMware has released patches to fix multiple issues, including a privilege escalation vulnerability, CVE-2022-22973, and an authentication bypass flaw, CVE-2022-22972, the latter of which, it says, must be applied immediately as the ramifications are serious. Picking up the interview from last week on monews.bulletin.com with the travel advisor for CBS. So the fourth quarter of this year, here's my prediction. Airline bookings are going to go off a cliff. Hotel bookings, off a cliff. Business travel, whatever's left, off a cliff. People are just going to say, I'm waiting until next year. They've been done for this year as of September. So if you want to travel, the best time to do it is when everything goes off a cliff. Do it after September 15th. Mo, yeah, I was going to ask for those. You know, we're speaking here at the end of June. If you haven't made travel plans for the summer yet, what is your recommendation to folks? Is there a deal out there anywhere in the world, or is it really wait till fall? PG, you know what? If I have a choice, I travel for a living. It's what I report on. It's what I do. But if I'm looking for a leisure vacation option this summer, you know what? Here's my leisure vacation option. Wheel of Fortune. I'm going to sit home. I'm going to watch people try to pick a vowel. I'll get through the summer. I'm going to plan now for after September 15th. Don't wait. And that includes if you have frequent flyer miles. Right now, this is the worst time to try to redeem them because airlines are all full. Their idea of displacing revenue faster to give you a free ticket? Not even in the cards, right? You won't see any availability until after September 15th. But once September 15th rolls around, start redeeming your miles and be creative. Think 330 days out, not just September 15th. And use all their partner airlines on Oneworld or Star or the Sky Team. You might be pleasantly surprised at what your options are when everybody else is recovering from trying to travel in the summer of 2022. Mo, what is your rule of thumb? How far out to book your flights? Is there a magic period of time? When you know, look right now, end of June. When should you be looking at is when is too far out to book something? PG, well, in normal times, I'd let you figure out when that might be. It's about 54 days out because the airlines use sophisticated algorithms to project demand at set prices. The only exception to that 54-day rule would be dates you already know, like the Wednesday before Thanksgiving or Christmas, New Year's Eve, things that are not going anywhere that are always high volume. But if it's before December 15th or after January 3rd and it's not Thanksgiving, you know what? Think of the 54-day rule and try to book it on a Sunday. That's the best day of the week to find out if there's going to be a discount fare. Mo, where are people going right now this summer? This fall in record numbers. Where should folks, and by the way, that part of the question is where should people avoid going right now because they're so oversaturated? PG, well, you know, because of airfares having quadrupled in many markets, I'll give you an example. An airfare from Los Angeles to San Francisco for me 5 weeks ago was $93, a flight that lasts 38 minutes. You know what it is today? $420. So if you're a family for a flight that lasts 38 minutes, you're dealing with a ticket that's over $1,600. You've already reached a tipping point. You're not going to do it. But you are going to cram everybody in the car, strap granny on the roof, because even if gas was $9 a gallon, you can still figure out a way to amortize that cost and get to San Francisco. So people have not stopped driving in their cars. We have not reached that tipping point, despite how terrible those gas prices are and could still be. So what are people doing? They're traveling under 500 miles by car. That's number one. Number two, they're making the mistake of going to a national park. They're already overcrowded, and it's not going to get better. Even Yosemite, which is already overcrowded. There, they may have to close. Yellowstone was already overcrowded, and they had a serious flood situation. Even though they're going to reopen, they're not going to reopen at full capacity. It's already a mess. So of the 423 or so national parks and monuments, most of which, by the way, don't charge an entry fee, which is great, you still better call ahead to find out if you can actually get a reservation. Now that leaves open the possibility of a state park, but they're getting full too. So if you're going to take a road trip, then you have to figure out hotels. Hotels are capping capacity at 60%. Why? They don't have staff either, and yet they're getting higher rates than they got in 2019 and providing half the service. That's a thrilling moment. So I'm telling you right now, the deal for this summer, the smart travelers should be contrarian travelers, you know. Do what my parents did with me when I was a kid. Go to the teachers, get an extra credit assignment, and take me out of school for a week during school. Mo, there you go. The unexpected surprise fall vacation. I'm sure many kids would be excited for that. Parents love to figure that out. Any places that are sort of below the radar right now that people should be looking at domestically and abroad for the fall? PG, well, domestically, I'm still a fan of the Midwest. You're going to find great deals in Wisconsin and Minnesota, find great deals in Iowa. And by the way, there are great places to go. And I love those places. I go there all the time. Internationally, there's a secret. It's called the power of the U.S. dollar. Right now, the dollar's at its strongest point against foreign currency, despite inflation, in 20 years. So you see, the euro got down to as low as $1.03. I think it's now about $1.08. Still a bargain. Because remember, they can adjust airline fares, they can adjust hotel rates, but they can't adjust basic goods and services that the locals have to pay anyway. So you need to say, okay, how much is a cab ride? How much is a tube of toothpaste? How much is dinner at a restaurant? You'd be surprised how far that dollar goes. In Turkey right now, a summer vacation here will cost you 36% less than it did last year because the dollar is so strong against the lira, which has been devalued so many times. The same is true in South Africa. The same is true in Buenos Aires and the rest of Argentina. Go to look where the dollar's really strong. That's where you want to go. Moving further on down, skip the trip insurance. But there's another insurance that everybody needs to have no matter what, and it's medical evacuation and repatriation insurance. It's offered by companies like TravelGuard and MedJet Assist. Nationwide, many companies offer it. The concept of this insurance is it's really coverage. If you get sick or injured anywhere overseas, they will pay to have you medically stabilized in that location. And the best policies, again, read the language properly, will then consult with your own personal physician who knows your medical history better than your own doctor. And then they will decide whether to send medically equipped plane to fly you to the medical facility and doctor of your choice. Not every insurance policy has that language. Some of them will fly into the medical facility and doctor of their choice. Not a good idea. With all good due respect, I don't want to be a bad HMO in Uganda. I want to make sure that I'm going where I'm going to get the best care. That's why I bought the insurance in the first place. I know that MedJet does that. I know that TravelGuard does that. And even though they have some age exclusions, they just have a higher premium. The older you get, so you're not going to be not covered. You need to have that, and I've had it for more than 20 years. But as far as that initial insurance that I purchased my flight to on Delta, that they, you know, give me an opt-in, opt-out, you say avoid that? It's not going to cover me if they canceled the flight for weather. PG, no, I'm not saying avoid the insurance, but don't do it online. Go through a third party, a travel agent or a travel advisor. Remember, if you buy the insurance from a travel provider, whether it's online or through a travel agent, the policy language of that particular insurance is less beneficial to you than if you bought a third-party insurance plan. And not only that, if it's provided by the travel provider and the travel provider goes under, so does the insurance. Mo. One other thing that Americans have seen prices skyrocket on is rental cars. I know that those companies dealt with a lot of issues and nearly fell apart during COVID, made some decisions they're still dealing with the ramifications of. Where will we see rental car price relief? What are your recommendations to folks who need to rent a car at the location they're traveling to? PG, well, let's do a little history here. During the pandemic, the rental car companies looked out and saw hundreds of thousands of non-performing assets sitting in their parking lots going nowhere. So then the accountants came in. So what do they say? Sell the fleet. So they sold most of the fleet. Then travel comes roaring back in May and June of 2021, and there are no cars. Why? Not just because they sold the fleet, but because the manufacturer was facing a chip shortage, supply chain issues. They couldn't deliver the new fleet to the rental car companies and still haven't. So rental car prices were on average $400 a day domestic in U.S. and Hawaii as much as $1,000 a day. Ridiculous. That's all we could do. Right now, they've been going down to about $150 a day, still too high, because they still haven't gotten that fleet delivered. In some markets, it hasn't gone down at all. Now from coolblindtech.com, new accessible Bluetooth gaming controller is only $35. Article posted June 20th. Not all gamers have the manual dexterity or strength to hold a standard game controller. That's where 8-Bit Do's new Lite SE comes in. It's been designed with accessibility in mind and cost just $35, much less than other limited mobility controllers. The 8-Bit Do Lite SE is just another Bluetooth controller as far as your phone is concerned. You can pair it with Android, the Nintendo Switch, or a Raspberry Pi to get all the standard controller inputs. The hardware, however, is much different from your average controller. Instead of holding it in your hands, the 8-Bit Do Lite SE sits flat on a table, and there's a rubberized bottom to keep it from moving around. It also supports vibration, which many cheaper controllers do not. All the buttons are on the face, even those that are usually placed as triggers on the edges, and they have less resistance than standard controllers. The thumbsticks, which are symmetrical on the Lite SE, don't click. Instead, the L3 and R3 functions are presented as separate buttons next to the sticks. It charges over USB-C and can run for 18 hours on a charge. It comes with a USB cable. What was the inspiration behind the 8-Bit Do's Lite SE? The inspiration for the Lite SE came from a Swedish man named Andreas Carlson, K-A-R-L-S-S-O-N. He built several hacked-together game controllers for his son Oscar, O-S-K-A-R, who lives with a muscular disorder that limits his mobility. After contacting 8BitDo to propose a more accessible controller, the company came up with the Lite SE. When is the controller available? You can pre-order the controller from 8BitDo now. Shipping is slated for July 15th. ZapVision helps visually impaired access product information, posted June 20th. Zappar, Z-A-P-P-A-R, specializing in augmented reality, AR, creation, has launched ZapVision technology, which aims to provide access to relevant product information to everyone as a basic right, regardless of their visual ability. During the AWE exhibition in the U.S., recently Zappar showcased this innovative adaptation of QR technology, helping the visually impaired to navigate the shopping experience, enabling them to find the products on supermarket shelves while providing them access to vital product, price, and brand information in real time. What is ZapVision? ZapVision is a brand new scanning technology and type of QR code that can be scanned at a distance and adapts to smartphone accessibility settings for native apps. These D3 QR codes, named after its distinctive ... pattern, using the ZapVision SDK, can be scanned at over 5 times the distance, 115 centimeters, of a normal QR code scanned through the camera on a smartphone. Brands can easily and affordably implement this D3 QR code on packaging at scale without having to use any new code scheme, use up any additional space on pack, or introduce new printing processes, according to Zappar. How does it work? Users simply point their camera at the product, and at around 1.1 meters away, a 15-millimeter D3 QR code will be detected. ZapVision will announce the category of the product and its physical distance from the user through text to speech. It can detect multiple codes simultaneously in the camera view, allowing easy product selection. As the user moves closer, ZapVision can read out whatever relevant information the brand has chosen to provide. This single code scheme can service both the partially sighted and sighted users. By scanning the code with their phone's built-in QR scanner, or their own QR scanner of choice, sighted users can visit the traditional site referenced by a QR code. Will this AR technology work with existing accessibility apps? This AR technology will work on any accessibility app featuring the ZapVision SDK. The ZapVision SDK will be available for free for any developer to integrate into their existing apps. Is there a ZapVision app? A free-to-download ZapVision app will be available from Q4 2022 on iOS and Android via the camera function. Kasper Thykier, T-H-Y-K-I-E-R, CEO and co-founder at Zappar, explained, "We've been exploring different approaches to code scanning, detection, and localization for a number of years for different use cases. With ZapVision, we have an opportunity to allow all CPG brands and retailers around the world who are already embracing QR codes on their packaging and signage to simply and cost-effectively improve the lives of hundreds of millions of people. It's a beautifully simple solution to a global problem. It doesn't solve all the issues affecting the blind and partially sighted community as they navigate the world around them, but it is a step towards a more inclusive and accessible society." How to clear cache for Safari on your iPhone, posted June 20th. Clearing the website data cache is very easy and quick to do, but the option does require navigating into obscure menus. Open your Settings app. Scroll down to locate the Safari option and select it. Scroll all the way down to the bottom and select the Advanced option. Select Website Data. On this screen, you can delete saved data from individual sites by finding the site on the list using the search field or selecting Show All Sites if necessary. You can clear the entire website cache by selecting Remove All Website Data at the bottom. Select Remove Now to confirm. Now you know how to clear your cache of website data for Safari whenever you want. From ACB.org, ACB and the Department of Health and Human Services announced that more accessible COVID-19 at-home tests are available. On June 22, 2022, the federal government announced a new initiative to expand the availability of testing options that are more accessible for people who are blind or low vision and who use a smartphone. Now, people who are blind or low vision may order more accessible home COVID-19 tests. When connected to a smartphone application, these tests are capable of providing audible testing instructions and results to make the COVID-19 testing process more private and independent for people who are blind or low vision. ACB and our members have long fought for accessibility improvements to our nation's healthcare system, including accessible home diagnostic tests and durable medical equipment, said ACB President Dan Spoon. This announcement and program marks an important first step to provide more accessible COVID-19 at-home tests for people who are blind or low vision. Similar to other aspects of our lives and advocacy work, we realize that the accessibility of at-home medical testing is a journey, not a destination, and that these improved offerings from the federal COVID-19 at-home testing service will reduce, but not eliminate, accessibility barriers for people who are blind or low vision, especially for ACB members and the broader community of people who do not use a smartphone and do not have access to broadband services, said ACB Executive Director Eric Bridges. ACB remains resolute in our advocacy efforts to make all forms of at-home medical testing, remote monitoring, and diagnostic equipment and services independently and privately accessible for people who are blind or low vision. To receive the more accessible COVID-19 at-home tests from the federal government, consumers may click on the hot link online or call 1-800-232-0233. Each order will include two rapid antigen tests that are more accessible for people who are blind or low vision. Orders will ship free while supplies last. The tests work with the free Ellume, E-L-L-U-M-E, COVID-19 home test app for iOS or Android to provide users with audible instructions and test results. For additional information regarding this more accessible at-home testing option, including additional resources from the Department of Health and Human Services, please visit https://acb.org/accessible-covid-tests. If these more accessible tests will not meet your at-home testing needs, please contact the Disability Information and Access Line of the Administration on Community Living for additional COVID-19 testing resources, 1-888-677-1199. From nfb.org, celebrate outstanding blind students, posted Wednesday, May 11th. Baltimore, Maryland, the National Federation of the Blind, NFB, the nation's leading advocate for the equal education of the blind, today announced the finalists for its annual scholarship program, which provides financial assistance and connects students with mentoring and other resources. The 30 scholarship finalists are listed below in alphabetical order, with their home states and vocational goals. Some students requested to include their home country as well as the U.S. state where they reside. Congratulations to these outstanding finalists. Sean Abraham, M.D., U.S. Maryland, I'm sorry, U.S. diplomat. Nancy Aguilera, Missouri, researcher and professor. Tasneem Al-Shuli, Arizona, professor and consultant. Caitlin Bereshish, West Virginia, social worker. Javon Campbell, New York, community educator. Justin Champagne, Louisiana, mathematics professor. Jennifer Doran, Oregon, climate change activist. I'm sorry, I'm running out of time. The scholarship program is one of our most important initiatives, said Mark Riccobono, president of the NFB. Be sure to listen next week. I hope you enjoyed it. I'm Doris Hyde, reading Vision News for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Vision News is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the